The Bible reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, reading verses 2 to 13. Make room in your hearts for us. We have wronged no one. We have corrupted no one. We have taken advantage of no one. I do not say this to condemn you, for I said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. I am acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. I am filled with comfort in all our affliction. I am overwhelming with joy. For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted on every turn, fighting without and feared within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. For even if I make you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that letter grieved you, though only for a while. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter. So also I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that your earnestness for us might be revealed to you in the sight of God. Therefore we are comforted, and besides our own comfort, we rejoice still more at the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For whatever boasts I made to him about you, I was not put to shame. But just as everything we said to you was true, so also our boasting before Titus has proved true. And his affection for you is even greater as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you. Amen.
How many of you have seen this movie, Miracles from Heaven? It's a pretty good movie. It's a true story about this little girl that has some quite rare disease that her whole digestive system is mucked up. And so the family has to travel up to, I think they're from Texas, and they travel up to Boston regularly to see this doctor, and there's nothing he can do, and it's a whole sad time. And this goes on for years. Now, at one point, the pastor at their church is preaching. And he says in his sermon, and this is probably one of the bits of the movie that really stood out to me because I'm a preacher. And he says, now, if there's something going on in your life that has not been resolved and it just doesn't seem to be being fixed, maybe it's a good idea to take some time to stop and go and ask God, what am I doing wrong? Is there some sin in the way? Is there something you need me to sort out? And I thought, yeah, that's very true. It's a good point, mate. That sometimes we need to go and say, God, is there something you need to sort out here? Now, in the movie, the sermon finishes and three women just march up to this lady and go, what's your sin? Because your daughter's not healed. And you're like, as a preacher, you're like, any chance of some lightning bolts, Lord? Those three women could do with it. Actually, later in the movie, I can't help telling stories. Because something happens and the little girl is healed in a miraculous way. So that's why it's called Miracles from Heaven. It's a very cool story. If you haven't seen the movie, I recommend it. But so after those women do that, she doesn't go back to church for a while, unsurprisingly. After the miracle, she's talking to the pastor and something comes up and I haven't been at church for a while and God might be upset, and he goes, I don't think so. And she says about the women, and he goes, I know, I saw that. I wish sometimes that God would shut some people's mouths like he did the lions. Okay, it was a thing. But why I tell that story is because there are times when correction has to come. There is times when we have to hear something hard. There is times we have to say something hard. That's what Paul did. There's sin, there's hurt, there is evil in the world that is real, and sometimes it has to be addressed. And today I wanted to look at some thoughts and some parts of the process of enabling that to happen. Paul writes this sentence in the middle of it, which stood out to me. Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. I see that by my letter I hurt you, but only for a little while. Now you're like, flop, and heck, that sounds like double Dutch. No, it's not double Dutch, it's Greek. It's been translated into English. What is it? I caused you sorrow. I do not regret it, though I did regret it. What do you want about Paul? And it comes down to, I regret that it hurt you. I regret the hurt. I don't regret that it did it, that I had to do it, that it happened. Why? Yes, now I am happy, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed by us in any way. That the hard thing actually fixed the problem. There was pain. The pain led to change, and the change led to a solution. Very quickly, it just makes me think of a story that Lynn and Lindsay told, that Carla was involved in a minor accident, and she thought the light had turned and it was the arrow or something, so she went forward and crashed into somebody, and there was an ambulance called, and Carla, being their kid, was very nice to the lady in the accident and gave her a hug and talked to her, and then when the ambulance was just a bit, is there anything else we can do? Yeah, get that lady to give me another hug. Anyway, a couple of days later, she rang up Carla and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. What? Oh, I had a headache. My children made me go to the doctor because they thought it may be something to do with the accident. We didn't write it off, and they found a brain tumor that they were able to solve. So the little pain produced a help for something big. God's in the business of fixing and finding solutions. So sometimes as the hurt comes, made me think of another verse, speaking the truth in love. That's what's needed. Paul spoke the truth in love. Lord, we just pray that today you will guide us. And knowing when we need to be the person that speaks truth in love to help another brother or sister or somebody. As to do it truthfully and lovingly. Lord, we pray that when we're the one that needs to hear it, that you will send the right person and help us to hear it, what you've got to say. Lord, and when we're in the places where we're not doing anything wrong, and we're in the right direction at the right speed, that if the enemy is coming to accuse us, and that we can write it off when it's not the truth in love. Lord, we pray that as we listen to your words this morning through the Bible, through what I'm saying, that each of us might be encouraged in our walk to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul puts in this bit, so you have a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. I've spoken with you with great frankness. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged in all our troubles by joy knows no bounds. You think there's any love going on for the Corinthians? Has he communicated that? So when Paul's talking about the truth in love, he loves them. He's conveyed that. That's what he wants. Even if I caused you sorrow in my letter, I do not regret it, though I regret it. I see that my letter hurt you for only a little while. Paul obviously had to deal with something that was wrong and would have hurt. That's what's going on here. Something is going wrong. Now, I'm pretty sure that all of us have had this experience where something's gone wrong in our life, or we've done something wrong, or someone's done wrong to us, or some wrong's happened somewhere that needs to be dealt with. So I wanted to look at this, what Paul did here, to help us navigate this. Some correction principles for those of us that are sometimes in the position that we have to give correction. Any parents here? Any grandparents here? Any great-grandparents here? Oh, yeah! You probably don't have to give correction too much to your great-grandkid, right? You're not here that often. Okay? But we've all had these times where we've had to do it. And then there's times where we've got it wrong and someone's had to bring it to us. So my encouragement to us today is to look at these principles and go, when I have to bring correction to someone, am I doing these things? When I have on the receiving end of correction, am I looking for these things? Is it genuine correction? If it is, how do I take it on board? If it's not genuine correction, if it's not the right, I can write it off. Anyone ever been corrected and you want to write it off and you just find a way to write it off? That's an urge for us. Help us to think, well, if it doesn't belong and the correction is from an incorrect source wrongly, we can write it off, but to know that difference. So, the first thing we need to ask when the correction is happening is it true? Anyone think Paul was right in whatever it was he said to the Corinthians? I'm going, yeah. He would have taken the time, he knew his stuff, he was a walking God. So what he had to say to them was correct and true. If you're in the position where you have to give correction, stop and ask yourself, is it correct? Is it true? Is it really got to be there? If you're in the position where you're someone's trying to correct you, ask yourself, is it true? Is there some merit in this? Some ways to do that. What's your information sources? If you've heard a rumor that someone's doing something, you go bursting in to correct them. What's your information sources as to what they've done and whether what they've done is right or wrong? Is it wrong in God's sight? That's what matters. How much of the story have you got? Before you go rushing in to correct something, check that you've got the story, that it needs to be corrected. If someone's correcting you, hopefully take the time to make sure the whole story is going. Trump is such a good example for some of the stories that come out of this. He's a crazy mixed bag, but there's one situation where he was getting bagged by the media because he was so disrespectful to the Japanese president, because they were there talking together and Trump just tipped out the whole handful of food to the fish and didn't do it bit by bit, and he was just so disrespectful. Till you see the video clip that shows 30 seconds before Trump did it, the Japanese president tipped all this in, and so then Trump copied him. But because the media, some parts of the media hate Trump, they were doing that. Okay, let's not do that when we have to correct someone, have we checked the full story? Have you prayed about it? If you've got to do some correction. You stopped and said, God, what do you want me to correct? If someone's correcting you, and you, I'll admit to this one, and some, I'm guessing there may be one or two people who'll stand me with it. I don't like being corrected. Someone tells me I've got something wrong, my instinct is to write them off, fight back, do something like that. Question is, do I stop and go, God, is there something in this? Is it big enough to matter? I joked the thing a few times recently. As an ex-teacher, I don't know how many pens I've stolen. But teachers have this thing of going and helping a kid grab their pen to do something and walk off with it. When I visited my brother one time, on his home desk, there was a box this big full of pens because he'd had three each day. Oh, where did they go from? Throw it in a box. Right? Let's not hang teachers out to dry for stealing pens. It's not intentional. Now, if it's stealing pens can keep you out of heaven. If you don't get right with God, but there's bigger issues there. So being legalistic about the finer points all the time, don't do that. If there's something that needs to be sorted, even if it's a small thing and it's leading to bigger things, yeah. But when it comes to correction, does it really matter? We live in difficult times when it comes to truth, because people are trying to redefine all sorts of truth all the time. There's the level of misinformation out there in our sources is all over the place. I believe it becomes really, really important for us when we're in the position of having to correct someone else, really take the time to value the truth of it. When we're being corrected, really take the time to go, is this really truth? And our biggest important part of that is to seek God on that. And then he can use all sorts of sources to do that, but to really seek God's help to go, I want the truth. Are you the right source to do the correction? Or if someone's correcting you, have they got the right to? Sometimes you can write them off, as long as you check the other thing. I have said this before and I'll briefly touch on it again. Do you have the relational right, the positional right, or the spiritual right to do the correction? Anyone ever seen another car speeding? So obviously you put the foot down and chase them down and keep flashing the lights until they pull over, and then you tell them, you were speeding, I want to take you to the police station. No, you don't. Not if you're sane. You don't have the positional right to do that. So when it comes to correction, just ask yourself, have I got the relational right, the positional right, or is there just something, is God prompting me? That's what I call a spiritual right. To you really get a strong sense of God saying, I need you to walk, I want you to go into that situation. How will it be taken? I did like the one that was Putin, when Israel first invaded Gaza after the October 7 attacks, wrote something condemning of Israel for taking the sovereignty of the Gazans and how dare they invade. And I'm like, he was not the right person. It would not be taken well. If you're someone who's already at enmity with someone and you've in the middle of evil, it might not be your place to help them sort out something. The boy who cried wolf. Pretty sure you all know that story. Ask yourself that. if you're beginning, am I the person who's been nagging so long that whatever they say, they're not going to listen anyway? Have you prayed about it? Are you the right person to give correction? The person giving you the correction. If they're not the right one, pray about it. Check the truth, but sometimes you can write it off. But if they are, don't write it off. Is it loving? By the way, going back one, was Paul the right person to give some correction to the Corinthians? I think he had the relational right. He had the positional right. He was the apostle that started that church. He had the spiritual right. God had said, get in there, because it's in the book of Corinthians, the book, and the Bible says, all scripture is inspired by God. Is it loving? What was Paul saying? I'm so stoked about you guys. He loves the Corinthians. When you're looking at bringing correction, is it becoming out of love, or is it being a dibba-dobba, tattletale? You're wanting to get the other person in trouble. What's the kindest possible way to say that? There's a lot of different ways you can say something. And some ways are kinder than others. I'd encourage you, when you're the person who has to do some correction, stop a little bit. At least once you've worked out you need to, then go start, ask God the question, how do I do it the kindest possible way? The time and the place and the audience. Oh, who could I pick on? My mate Daryl here. I'm picking on him because I can't imagine having to do this very often. But if I thought that he'd done something wrong, now, telling him right now in front of you a lot, I deserve to have my butt kicked badly for doing that. If Daryl had done something wrong, and I can't think of anything at the moment, right? What I should do is pick a time outside of an audience, not when he's in a rush to go and do something, and say, Daryl, hey, we need to address this issue. You don't do it in front of a whole lot of people and all those sort of things. So pick your time and place for doing that. Real love sometimes is tough. Remember, it's not loving to let someone keep going down a hole. I was going to find a cartoon where there's two blokes on the side of the road. One's got a sign up that says, the end is nigh. And another bloke's got a sign up that says, turn back. And there's two churches there on the side of the road. And everyone's going past going, whatever. And then you hear a crash and the one pastor says, do you think we should change our sign to say the bridge is out? Are you doing it out of love? I can't do it the short way. Growing up, we had the Jungle Doctor cartoons. The Jungle Doctor stories. And there's a story about they found a little baby leopard and took it back to the village and the kids wanted to keep it. And the old man says, no, don't do that. Little leopards become big leopards and big leopards kill. No, it'll be great, granddad. We'll feed it porridge. Anyway, leopard grows up, something happens and somebody gets killed. And the old man says, little leopards become big leopards and big leopards kill. Little sins become big sins and big sins kill. Correction does need to happen. So when you're asking, do I need to bring correction here? Do it with the motivation because you want to not get that person in trouble, but help them be in a better place. Check your motivation. That comes from when you're receiving correction too. Is someone just trying to get you in trouble? Sometimes you can write it off. But when you're not liking, but you go, my wife has to tell me every now and again that I'm wrong, apparently. Now, I do know that she actually does still love me and she wants best for me. So just writing off is a bad idea. on the even odder occasion than when she has to do that, she has been wrong somewhere once at least. And her point wasn't correct. Can't think of too many times. But I need to take it on board because I know her motivation is for my good. So when someone's correcting you, that's one of the things can help you go, hang on, is that person actually got my best interest at heart? If they have, you really do. It's a better time to help go, well, what are they on about? Is it real? So check your motivation. But this is where we come to something else. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Anyone heard that verse before? Anyone very glad to have heard that verse and hung on to it a few times? Your sorrow led to repentance. That's why Paul was happy. I'll put it this way. If you've done something wrong and you can see no possible way out of that situation, if you found out, not telling anybody or denying it seems like a good option. If the cost is too high, you're going to do everything you can to avoid being found out. You won't own up to something. This is something incredibly special about Christianity. When Paul corrected them, it was in the context of a Paul who'd been preaching grace and mercy and talking about forgiveness and doing that all along. Grace and mercy is what we have to offer. So when we're in the position of having to correct someone, let's not forget that we can offer grace and mercy. That, yes, you've done something wrong, but there's a way out that's not the end. When you're receiving correction and you're not liking it and you go, always remember that God says there is grace and mercy. I have a way through this. Christ has something incredible to offer. The gospel is a power of salvation to all who believe. What does that song go? The gospel, the one you just sang, the gospel, hey? I stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is good news because when we've done something wrong, we don't have to say, that's it, there's no hope here. You're not going to the death chair. In fact, even if it is for someone who is going to the electric chair or the hanging thing, Jesus got a hope for that too. So when it comes to correction, we need to bring to it and say, we want the best for you, but there is a way forward and the gospel is it. Whenever we need to be corrected and we've got something wrong and you feel pretty terrible about it, you can go, and God said, I've got a way out for this. Always remember the good news, that the gospel is there. There is a way forward. There is a way out when we hang on to Jesus. That is the difference about Christian correction. That if you confess your sins, he is willing and faithful to forgive us our sins. So for us, when we've done something wrong, the first starting point and we're realizing is to go and say sorry to God. And he says, right, now we can wind our way through. Whenever you've got to help someone, and you go, the correction here, it's not correction that leads to death. It's correction that leads to an opportunity to do something different. Seek God's solution. Whenever you've got to offer correction and you're praying it through and you're going, this is, be looking to go, how do I help that person get it right? So as we finish this morning, I want to remind us that sometimes, like Paul, we have to, somebody in our circle, make a hard call and share some truth to help them get more right. How do we do it lovingly? But we've got to remember that we can give it with grace. Whenever we've had to receive correction, ask ourselves, is it warranted? Look for the lovingness in it. But then come to the fact that God's grace is there and he's got a way through. Let me pray. Lord, we are thankful for your grace. That the gospel is the power of salvation. Salvation is being rescued from a horrible situation. Sin is there and it affects all of us. You have offered that rescue to all of us. We thank you for that and we want to hang on to that. And we want to find the ways to offer that. So Lord, we just pray for your wisdom. Thank you that you gave Paul that wisdom. Thank you that you gave the Corinthians that wisdom. And that when they dealt with whatever that situation was, you reached in and solved it. So Lord, as we face our week ahead, whichever ways it is, Lord, we pray that you help us to be people that reflect that grace and mercy, that gospel, that way forward that you have. Be people that accept that and walk, live it out in our lives. So we pray for your grace and mercy in our lives because we need it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.